I got shooters touch. Can't nobody ball like me.
I was getting a lot of no letters. And I kept some of the letters because it was like motivation for me.
I was young in my coaching career. I did know that those guys I was coaching, this was their one opportunity.
If you really want the players to like you, just make them better.
If I want to keep playing this game, you know, as a job, I have to continue to get better at that.
You have to figure out a way to carve out some value that you have that you can bring not only to your team but also your profession.
It's really good information, and I pick up little nuggets all the time.
For me, it's all about confidence, man. You have to have confidence to be a shooter, to be a basketball player in general, to have success. It's all about confidence. If they walk a mile in my shoes, then they can ball like I do. But my game different, not the same
with it. I travel now, y'all just change pivots. Shooters, welcome back to another episode of the Shooters Touch podcast. We appreciate you listening. If you could tell a friend, share our tweet, any of those things would help us out. Actually, the best thing you could do is drop us a 5-star rating wherever you get your podcasts. It just helps other shooters find us, and so we appreciate that. Today, we bring on Zeke Mayo. If you don't know the name, Google it, figure it out, because you're going to want to know this kid. We step across the border a little bit up into South Dakota. Zeke is a sophomore for the Jackrabbits at South Dakota State. Comes to South Dakota from Lawrence, Kansas, and so we dive into that story a little bit of what it was like growing up down in KU country and AU circuit and ultimately what got him up to South Dakota State. And so this is a fun story. This guy could shoot the snot out of the basketball, and so we thought that he was a good fit here for Shooter's Touch. We think you'll enjoy it. As always, shooters shoot. I only speak too much, ain't about a check, I don't talk for free. Try to walk a day in my shoes,
no matter if the cost a G. Well, Zeke Mayo, welcome to the Shooter's Touch.
Thank you, glad to be here.
Yeah, Zeke, we're excited to have you. Appreciate you taking some time. So it's going into year two, you're a few months into to your sophomore season. Basketball hasn't quite got going yet, but school has. And so what was the summer like for you now that you've been through a year and kind of know a little bit what to expect?
Oh, yeah, man. Summer was definitely it's probably the most busiest I've been in a long time. You know, transforming from my role that I had last year as a freshman to now, you know, kind of coming in as being known as that guy on our team from losing, you know, Baylor Shireman and then also Douglas Wilson. We're kind of looking for someone to fill those roles a little bit. And, you know, coaches kind of emphasized me and told me, you know, the keys are now yours to just kind of control the team and be a leader.
Yeah, and you kind of a role that you stepped into late. Well, not necessarily late, but later on, you know, I know once you hit the starting lineup, you guys really kind of started to hit your stride last year. I think I saw where you guys went 20-1 with you in the starting lineup. And so that bodes well. But like you said, you kind of had the opportunity to excel in your role a little bit, to not necessarily have to feel like, you know, you had to be the man right away. Even though looking back at high school career, it looked like you were definitely the man. So you're familiar with that, but how nice was that to be able to kind of, come into your own as your first year in college basketball?
Well, I mean, it was definitely like a confidence boost, I would say, just coming in and, you know, knowing that I have an opportunity to be able to, you know, play my game alongside guys like Baylor Shireman and Alex Arians and Charlie Easley and a bunch of other guys that, you know, played on the team last year. Just being able to come in, play my own game, play my own style, is kind of like a compliment to those guys in their game as well. So I think that's what, you know, allowed me to fit in so good with our program.
And so that freshman year for anybody, I mean, playing basketball or sport or not, I mean, freshman year is just a deer in the headlights moment. There's a lot going on, a lot trying to figure out this new life, this new team, this new program, this new circumstances. And so I would have to imagine for you coming in and then, like I said, getting in the starting lineup and then going on the run that you guys went in, and then finding yourself in the NCAA tournament in March. I mean, at what point did you have an opportunity to take a breath and look back and kind of reminisce a little bit about the year that you guys had?
I mean, there were a lot of moments, I'd say, but I think one moment I can for sure say that I really like collected myself and I was like, holy cow, like we're really doing this. We had an opportunity to be really, really special was when we started, I think we tied the longest streak for wins in league history without losing. So I think it was kind of like, you know, we're doing this and we're not too far from where we want to be. So as long as we can keep building on what we had, I think that's when not only me, but the rest of our team kind of realized that we can really be special.
Yeah. So I just, as you were talking, I pulled it up. So December 15th, you guys lost at Missouri State. Mm-hmm. And then from then it was just straight rolling all the way through the rest of the league, won the league over North Dakota State. And then obviously met Providence in the NCAA tournament. And so take us a little bit to the NCAA tournament selection Sunday. Obviously you guys as league champs knew that you were in, but what do you remember about that process and the seeding and when that pairing came out?
I think all of our hearts dropped when we saw Iowa got the 5 seed because we kind of expected to be the 12 seed and kind of it would have been a crazy game, crazy atmosphere if we would have got that Iowa game. But I mean, we'll take a 13-4 seed or 13-4 game, excuse me. It was a blessing that day to just see all of our community out in one spot, celebrating our success as well as our university success in general, and just seeing all the yellow and blue cheering for us. And just to be in that moment was really, really special for me because that's something that, you know, a lot of kids don't get to experience. And I've dreamed of it ever since I was a child watching, you know, KU on the big screen. So it was definitely special for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. We want to get to that. Obviously, we'll get to your childhood growing up and some of the Lawrence stuff. But so going into that Providence match, that matchup, it had to feel like initially a pretty good matchup, obviously with the way that you guys were playing and specifically the way you guys were shooting the basketball. You guys had to feel pretty good. And we talked a little off air, but obviously we had Coach Pete on too, and so we know a little bit of the story. But you know, a 13-4, you guys were not flying under the radar. Like everybody had you guys kind of picked. Like it was something that you guys didn't get the normal blessing of just kind of sneaking in as a 13 seed and catching anybody off guard. Can you walk us through a little bit of what that was like for you guys?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously all over social media, you saw we were the underdog, but we weren't really the underdog. So coming into that game, you know, we had a lot of confidence in our group. Both offensively and defensively. I think it just came down to, you know, experience and strength of schedule is really what probably played a big part in that one with them being in the Big East, playing, you know, teams like Creighton and, you know, Xavier and all those guys all year. They were a lot bigger and a lot more stronger. So I think that was the biggest difference between that game.
Well, and if I remember correctly, too, Pete was telling us that your guys' open shoot around, like they were there. Providence was there watching you guys. I mean, they weren't sleeping on you guys at all. They were coming ready to go, which bodes well. It speaks to your guys what you were doing, too, and the fact that they knew that this was a big time game. And it was. It was fun. It was a fun game to watch and watch you guys go back and forth. Obviously, we would love to see you guys end up on the other side of things. But all in all, a really great season for you guys individually. And so then, you know, that was – so March 17th looks like it was that game. When did you get home? Did it take a week or two to kind of come down off of that high and kind of look back and feel good or feel accomplished about the direction that you guys are headed?
I think the moment we came down from that high was right after the game, actually. I mean, we lost the game, but we were kind of like, you know, we made it this far. That there's really nothing to look back on and say we wish we could have done this better or wish we could have done that better. I mean, we had a great year, ended up 30-5. I think that was the most wins in school history, if I'm not mistaken. But, I mean, we spent all year – you know, early practices and tough just having competitive guys go at it each and every day. I think that's what brought us all together. And just looking back on it made us realize that, you know, we really did something special last year.
Was there one thing that, you know, when you got to the NCAA tournament that, you know, because obviously you don't just go there, play and leave, you know, was there one thing that kind of surprised you there? I remember, you know, when we made the NCAA tournament at UNI, you know, it surprised me. This is very small, but it surprised me that we had police escorts that were driving our bus. Was there one thing that, you weren't expecting when you made it there?
I mean, I could honestly say the same thing. The police escorts, that was pretty insane to see. I've never really been in something like that before. But honestly, it was just being out there and being present in the moment, mm-hmm. just on the court and, you know, seeing all the fans. Like, there was a lot of blue and yellow out there. Whether you believe it or not, we were almost in Providence area. So it was like, to know that there's fans out there cheering for us and hoping that we can be the underdog to make a Cinderella run, that was really, really special.
Yeah, Buffalo, New York was a tough draw against Providence. I mean, I just looked at that. Like, that's basically a home game for them. Yeah. So, and I don't, Buffalo in March, probably not the most exotic place that you guys could have gone either.
probably about the same weather as is up there in Brookings, I would guess. But yeah, it's an interesting atmosphere, you know, playing in something like that. You know, it was obviously a little bit closer to Providence than probably most schools that were playing there. However, you know, all those fans that aren't Providence fans, they're cheering for the underdog. And with that being said, you know, there's probably more Jackrabbit fans there. And, you know, if you were counting the Providence fans too, so that's kind of an interesting atmosphere for sure. But, well, that's awesome, man. It was, as Brian said, we wish y'all would have come out on the other side of it, but, nothing to be ashamed of, nothing to hang your head about. That record speaks for itself. That winning streak speaks for itself. So, it was a fun ride to watch for sure. So, well, let's turn the hands of time back. Let's talk about childhood here. We kind of mentioned it here, made a reference to it, but where'd you grow up? You know, what was athletics like, you know, when you were younger, maybe elementary, middle school?
Yeah, so I grew up, I've grown all my life in Lawrence, Kansas, which is a home of the Jayhawks, obviously. Grew up with both my parents, a couple sisters, both younger, but, you know, I've played basketball my entire life. But when I was younger, I played both football and baseball as well. So, I mean, I was really, really busy with athletics and stuff as a young guy. But, you know, practices aren't really hard back then because, you know, you're still a kid. But, I mean, once I hit probably, I want to say sixth grade, is when I realized, like, okay, I can really, like, be something special within this game of basketball. And my dad kind of put that in my ear as well a little bit as I was growing up. I played up all my life. So I played AAU up a year with a couple of friends until I got to high school, which I started playing my normal age of AAU on the Under Armour circuit with Run GMC. But I mean, once I reached high school is when I stopped playing multiple sports. I started to focus on basketball a lot, started working out late in my eighth grade year in the summer. And then, you know, I made varsity my freshman year. Didn't play a whole lot, but still, you know, made some contributions to that squad. We made it to state. I made it to state every year, actually, of high school. Ended up losing my last year in the semifinals to a really good Blue Valley North team. I mean, my stat line that game was pretty insane, I would say. I ended up with 31, 29 in the fourth quarter. But
in an eight-minute quarter? 8 minute quarter to 29?
8 minute quarter.
Insane would be a word for that, I think.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's pretty much at my entire athletic career was just, you know, basketball.
Yeah, who – with those sports, so you said right around middle school is when you I guess made the decision that, you know, hey, you know, this basketball thing's probably the way I wanted to go. But what was, you know, being that multi-sport athlete, you know, was there you know, what advantages would you say that gives an athlete, you know, a younger athlete or a young athlete in that particular?
Yeah. I mean, you can definitely like say that you can take some some skills from like basketball and implementing into football into basketball, baseball, etc. So I would say just playing multiple sports, I could develop many, many skills. And then, I mean, it also raises your IQ level. So just being able to like read, you know, defenses or just being able to make plays in general for like your teammates or whatever. I think that's what helped me the most within playing multiple sports.
Yeah. What position were you in football and also baseball?
Football, I played wide receiver and quarterback. Played wide receiver until I was in sixth grade, and I played quarterback for the next 3 years. Baseball, I was a shortstop, first base, and pitcher.
Wow. Hand-eye coordination and you know, obviously with wide receiver footwork, which helps on the hardwood as well. You mentioned AAU and the other circuit you played on there. You know, when did AAU start for you? And then also, you know, what was the AAU circuit like for you? You know, what advantages would you say you kind of gained? You know, obviously playing against higher level competition on some of those tournaments.
Yeah, so I started playing AAU, I want to say about third or fourth grade. But like I said, I played up, so I was playing fifth and sixth grade with a couple of high school buddies. Playing, you know, all over the country for Run GMC on Under Armour Circuit, playing top level competition, you know, guys that are going Power Five and going to the league nowadays. I think that definitely helped my game a lot. Just being able to see and guard those kind of guys, I think is what, you know, can develop a really good player into being a great player. Just playing those kind of guys, and also, you know, practicing against them. We had some really, really talented guys on our squad as well. So just playing against great competition on a daily basis, I think is what helps me a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the AAU circuit, you know, gets a lot of negative press. However, you know, I honestly, like you just mentioned, playing against some of those guys, you know, on a weekend to weekend basis over the summer, you know, obviously helps you improve as a player and even as a team, obviously, too. But who is the nicest guy you played against?
Ooh, that's a tough question.
I'll maybe give you top three if you want.
Okay, I can do that. I played Jaden Bradley, who's at Alabama right now. I played against he was on the same team as him. I want to say Bradley. His last name was Bradley Huntfield, if I'm not mistaken. He's at Tennessee, I believe. And then Mike Trigg, he plays football at Alabama, but he was on the Florida Vipers, I think, is who he played for. They were some guys.
How big of a impact does obviously KU basketball have on kids growing up in Lawrence? I mean, you know, not to knock the other programs, but I can see you not wanting to be a football or baseball player because KU's not any good at either. Well, football team's pretty good this year. I'll take that back.
Yeah.
But traditionally, though, I mean, that's got to be big. I mean, no matter how you slice it, I mean, when you have a program of that level winning a lot of games growing up, you know, you're going to be influenced by that. Do you think that had an impact on you and your buddies?
Well, yeah, most definitely. I mean, we all, you know, used to watch the games together. Like especially on weekends, we'd all just go to a buddy's house and just kick back, watch the games, wearing our KU gear or whatnot. But I mean, it was definitely they've been a great team for a really, really long time, and they have great coaches and great players. So I think just seeing them, you know, continue to win and continue to have the success that they have, I think definitely plays a role in my mind.
Was there a Jayhawk when you were seventh grade that kind of stood out as maybe somebody that you tried to start to emulate your game after?
Not someone I tried to emulate my game after, but I really loved Ben McLemore while he was at KU. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Free athlete, could shoot the ball, so
he'd filled up.
Definitely loved his game.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised. I mean, he's had an okay NBA career, but yeah, what he was able to do, it felt like he had big things were gonna come for him because he was fun to watch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, let's talk about your transition from eighth grade into freshman, because I'm assuming that, you know, from eighth grade into freshman year, you know, you mentioned all state tournaments that you went to. Eighth grade to freshman went right to varsity, yep. I'm assuming. Yep. What was that? What was that like? You know, one or two things that, you know, maybe surprised you and, you know, maybe were, hey, this is high level basketball now. What were some of those?
Yeah. So when I made the team, I mean, they kind of, they told me I was like a JV varsity kind of guy. So they didn't know whether they wanted me to play, you know, all the minutes on JV or, you know, play a little bit on varsity. They ended up sticking with varsity strictly. So, and that year we didn't really end up doing very good. We ended up, I think, 13-10, losing in the first round of state. But I mean, I played against guys like, I played Christian Brown, who's now in the NBA. I played his brother Parker, and their squad. So I mean, playing against bigger guys, and it was a lot more faster than eighth grade basketball as well. So, you know, the speed of the game, the physicality of the game definitely changed the ways. But I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's basketball. But in my mind, I wasn't really thinking like that, you know, as a young guy, as a young freshman. But, you know, like I said, it's just basketball. So going out there and hooping is what's the most important.
And then, Lauren, were you guys the top class? Was that 6A? Is that right? 6A. Yeah. And so then are you guys going – obviously, forgive our ignorance a little bit on what the Kansas basketball scene is like. But so are you going Kansas City area, like Overland Park, like playing in that way a lot often, like in your league? So you're playing high level. I mean, so as a freshman, give us an idea. So where were you at? Where were you at size-wise as a freshman? Were you still a little on the skinny side or what?
Yeah, I was about 6'2", probably 160, 165.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was pretty little.
And trying to play 6A basketball against some of the Kansas City metro area. Yeah, so that had to have been quite the adjustment for you guys. But then, so then where's state? So where does Kansas play state? Where's state basketball played at?
Yeah, so we play at Wichita State University.
Okay. Coker, nice. And you said all four years you made it there?
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah. How were some of, I guess, give us an idea, maybe a general idea about, you know, how your role changed from, you know, freshman to sophomore, sophomore, junior, senior?
Yeah, so my freshman year, obviously, like I said, didn't really play a lot. Came off the bench. I was seventh or eighth guy off the bench. Still contributed, but, you know, wasn't really anything like sophomore year and up. So going from freshman year to sophomore year, I think I went from like 6 to 14 points per game. So that was obviously a huge jump for me. And then sophomore year, also, we had a lot of good guys on our group. We had potential D1 players and Trey Cordobaum and Clarence King. But then from sophomore to junior year, I think junior year was when I really became, you know, that guy on the team for us. So I went from like 14 to 16 or 17, I believe. And then from junior year to senior year, I went from, you know, 17 to 21 or 22 per game. So yeah, I made some big strides. So
yeah, that's good.
And then your senior year, were you the how do you say it, the DeBrenna award winner?
Yeah.
And that's awarded to the top just in the Kansas City area or the state of Kansas, or who does that award go to?
Yeah, so the KC metro area.
Top player. That's legit.
That is. What is so when did the recruiting start for you? You know, when did school start sending maybe I'm dating myself, but start sending emails and text messages, I'm guessing at this point. When did that start?
Yeah, so my freshman year, 15 U year of AAU, was when I got my first phone call, which was from Creighton University. But at that time, you know, you had to contact them. So they would contact my AAU coach, and then they'd tell me to reach out to whoever it was. Mm-hmm. So that was when I made my first phone call, and you know, that I feel like that kind of sparked me, you know, also helped me realize like, okay, I can make it big time in this game, especially with it being Creighton University. And then after that, I got letters from Nebraska, I got letters from Iowa, KU was at a couple of my games. But then those teams kind of started backing off a little bit, and then that's when, you know, mid-major was kind of my settling area.
Yeah. When did when did you commit?
I committed October 9th of 2020.
Okay. What about South Dakota State? made it the one that you choose?
Yeah, so I took a visit up here in September of my junior year, so 2019. Came up on campus, met all the coaches, hung out with some of the players. But Brookings is really a lot like Lawrence for me. So it's a college town, obviously. And then on top of that, you know, the coaches and the culture of the program just really, you know, sparked my interest. And then, I mean, this is one of the very few schools that I took a visit to. So just being, you know, kind of familiar and comfortable with the decision I was making, this kind of made it home for me.
How important was it to commit the fall of your senior year? Was it something that you wanted to kind of get out of the way before your senior season, or what was the thought process there?
Yeah, so what had happened was I actually had an offer from North Carolina Greensboro, and you know, around that time was when, you know, coaches couldn't really come and watch you play because of COVID and stuff. So, you know, guys were committing left and right because you can't take visits, you know, they can't come see you, whatever. So, you know, guys were committing so often. I actually got that offer pulled. And so I was like, you know, I had my mind made up for a pretty long time just because, you know, I was comfortable with the coaches and stuff and we built relationships. But after getting that offer pulled, I was kind of like, I mean, I really don't need to wait around any much longer. So I just went ahead, talked to my family, and made the decision within a week. So,
and so then after a big senior season, anybody else come knocking, or were you 100% like, I'm a jackrabbit, get out of my way?
No, I was signed and sealed.
Love it.
Sealed. Like that. So hobo days in Brookings didn't have any effect on you committing.
I've never experienced hobo days. I was like, no, we were gone for hobo days.
Man, what a time to be gone. I've heard stories about hobo days.
So with the COVID year, I mean, how crazy was that then for you? Because you were right, because that would have been in, so that senior year, I mean, how much playing time, or what, did you lose anything with the shutdown?
So yeah, AAU was done. We didn't do AAU that year, but what we did was we had a little fall league for some, you know, metro teams that were in the area, and some teams came down from the like Nebraska and Iowa that were comfortable with doing that, obviously. Right. Yeah. So, you know, we played those teams. We live streamed it because for our AAU team, we had a home gym, and they live streamed it at our home gym. Then coaches could go online and watch those games. Yeah. And so, and then high school, what actually happened was our high school athletics department, you know, for the state, had a meeting whether or not they were going to hold winter athletics. So for a little bit, we were all kind of like holding our breath, just praying to God that we could get our season.
Yeah. Yeah.
We ended up having it, obviously, which I'm thankful for, but yeah, it was scary, rough times there.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's crazy. Well, and it's crazy too that we're starting to get further and further removed from it, and so it's kind of like a blind spot, I feel like, in everyone's life that even happened. But it's just, yeah, it's just crazy. It's just crazy to think about. So if Adam and I, when we get a chance to get down to Fog Allen and catch a KU game, since you're the local Lawrence expert, where do we eat? Where do we gotta go and grab a bite to eat before we go to a game? What do we got down there?
That's a good one. I say Jefferson's is definitely a go-to. You know, you got Jefferson's West and you got Jefferson's downtown. Downtown spot, I think, is better, in my opinion.
Okay.
But, you got Jefferson's. You got Pickleman's. Pickleman's is a favorite of mine.
Okay.
There's a place called Set 'Em Up Jack's where you can – they actually have a lot of TVs in there, so they have every game on, football, basketball, whatever it is for KU. They have those games on in there. I say those are my top three. Those are
I like
top
it.
Three. Nice. We got like plenty that. Of options.
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like one of the many advantages to being in a college town is there's probably almost any hour you can go and get a game. So is that something that, like, as a high school kid, you were able to go up to the field house or wherever people are running and always getting a game, or what did that look like for you kind of growing up?
Yeah. So, I mean, I played We played pickup probably multiple times a week. I played with, you know, guys who were older and had 9-to-5 jobs, and they just come and hoop right after work or whatever it was. Yep. But yeah, well, I go up to the high school, you know, I get a group of guys, we go up there, go to the middle school if the high school is closed. So I had many opportunities to play pickup just around the city. So it was a lot of fun.
That's always a plus. And it feels like one of the things too, with so much organized basketball, that you don't have as much pickup. You know, probably some of your teammates probably played half as much pickup as you did, just because it was, they're always doing workouts or organized. And you learn a lot. You learn a lot from catching an elbow from one of those 9-to-5 guys, or trying to go down the lane, especially as a 7th or 8th grader, you know, or 9th grader, you're like, okay, you know, toughens you up and gets you ready. And so going all the way to, so when did you go up to Brookings then? So you had, did you do camps or anything that year before, or when did you get on campus?
My first time up here was my very first visit, that September of 2019. It was my first time ever being up here. Yeah, and you know, I was kind of familiar with the program, just with them. They played KU, I think, a couple of years before I came up here. So made NCAA tournament runs and NIT runs. So, I mean, I was kind of familiar with the program, but yeah, my first time up here was July of 19, so my junior year.
And they play Kansas City too, right? You guys play down. Yeah. So as I say, so that's always, how's that game for you? I know you've obviously only been there once, but from a family standpoint, do you have quite a bit of family in the Kansas City area that's able to come and watch you play?
Most definitely. I think last year, I think I had a whole section to myself, but it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of friends and a lot of family there.
Yeah. That's gotta be pretty awesome. So then stepping on campus as a freshman, what was that experience like for you? What do you remember kind of getting up there and getting settled, and then probably like, what was your biggest transition for as a student and one of your biggest transition as now a college basketball player?
Yeah, so you know, getting into college it's a lot of organizational stuff. You know, now living on your own, so you gotta do a lot of big boy stuff and a lot of big girl stuff on your own. So I kind of came in not really expecting that much of a change, just because I was always, you know, at home by myself a lot back in Lawrence. If I wasn't at home, I was working out, or, you know, I always had a ball in my hand or I was at school. So and that's pretty much what I do here now, is just, you know, the same. I'm in the same routine, except I'm just on my own now. So, but school wise, definitely a lot harder than high school. I'd say that the workload is a lot more, and, you know, due dates are more strict. You don't really have a lot of leniency with getting work done and stuff, and, you know, teachers are on top of their stuff. So I mean, just being more responsible was a big step of me becoming a college student.
How much do you think it kind of helped being the oldest? Yeah, I know you said you had a couple younger sisters, and so from just an organizational kind of, like you said, doing some of the big boy stuff, it that had to have been a little bit easier for you being the oldest in the family, I would imagine.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, mom is always taking care of the young ones. So if she obviously doesn't have any time on her hands, or if she's out, you know, getting groceries or even picking up the kids, you know, you gotta I'm at home, you know, doing dishes or trying to clean the house as much as I can, just making sure, you know, she doesn't have to do that after a long day of work. And then on top of that, you know, my sister played softball as well, so having to go to practice for a couple hours right after work, just making sure the house is a little tidied up when she gets home.
Yeah, good for you. Sound like a good son right there, and brother. How big an impact, I know your dad played a little bit in college as well, how big of an impact did that have on you, as far as kind of, I know you said that he kind of started to push you or give you the thought of going basketball. How big of a role did he play in your career? Did he do, you know, any coaching for you, or just kind of instruction, or what did that look like for you?
Yeah, I'd say he probably had the biggest impact on my basketball career by far. Just, you know, as a young player, he was always in my ear, just telling me and trying to, you know, he's giving me constructive criticism, but as a young kid, I'm like, you know, I don't want to hear that right now. Just stop. Like, if he's in the stands yelling at me, I'd be like, yo, shut up. I'm trying to just play. But, you know, looking back on it now, it's like he's telling me the right stuff. And, I mean, he's been there before. He's been in my position, so he knows the game. And it got to a certain point where I was like, okay, now I have to start listening to him.
That's good. And then what about from a high school and AAU circuit? I mean, was that something, too, that you know, from your coaches that you had, was there something that, you know, one of that they harped on, or that a facet of your game that they kind of really helped helped you along the way?
Yeah. So, I mean, going from my freshman year of high school to my freshman year of my AAU season was definitely the biggest jump I'd say I'd taken in all of my basketball career. Going from, you know, playing limited competition in high school to playing great competition in AAU, my coaches in AAU were really, really on top of me and making sure that I was, you know, being a leader of our team. So that kind of translated into my high school years, just, you know, being on top of our team whenever we needed it, and just helping us both groups handle adversity as well as we could.
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, being able to have you know, those coaches that ultimately to kind of work together as far as understanding, hey, you know, we got to develop this kid, or we see the potential in this kid. If, you know, we continue to work together and continue to work on these skills, can definitely set them apart. So that's good. It's always good to hear. We like to hear that side of things. And so, so we touched a little bit on it, as far as last year and your continued growth, as you got further along in the season. You said you kind of settled in and got into your own, you know, you're scoring 17, got 20, I think was 20, looks like 21 maybe was your career high, and played well, obviously, out in Buffalo. And so, as a freshman, 46.7% from the field, 41, almost 42% from three, and 93.3% from the free throw line. Almost one of very few freshmen in the nation that was so close to the 50-40-90 clip. But yeah, Let's take a look at this 93% from the free throw line. So what's the routine? So first of all, what's the routine? And then what's the feet look like? How do you treat the nail? Do you straddle the nail, or you right foot on the nail? Give us the free throw lineup.
Yeah, so I always make sure I'm at least 1 or 2 feet back before the ref passes me the ball. So once he passes it to me, I hold it in my left hand right on my hip. I step up with my right foot's on the nail at all times. Can't split it. And then I do the Steph Curry, you know, shake of the arm, take a deep breath. And then it's either 1 or 2 dribbles. Sometimes I switch it up, but 1 or 2 dribbles, then one spin in the left, and just go up for it.
Man, 93%, and you switch it up a little bit, 1 or 2 dribbles. That's man, I like that. I like that confidence, and I like the little. So it's the Steph arm shakeout. You're just not, you don't have the KD like little shimmy. No,
not the wheel. Maybe we should.
Oh man, that's pretty good. So we talked a little bit too at the beginning, but what's the future look like? Obviously you talked about your role is going to change, and we obviously know a little bit about kind of that process and how things went, but obviously probably not something that was fully expected as far as your role changing, obviously, with the way things happen and, you know, college basketball becoming more and more business-like. We get it. Things happen and opportunities come up. So what does the future look like, not only this year, but for your career here as you continue to move forward? Obviously, every list that I've seen on Twitter, you're one of the candidates for people to keep an eye on this year. And so hopefully that bodes really well, and your role will change this year, but then moving forward as well. And so what are you excited about in your career with the Jackrabbits?
Yeah, obviously just the main thing is just continuing to be myself and play my game. I think that's the most important part of my career as I move forward. But I think just continuing to develop both as a player and a leader for our team. You know, coaches have obviously put a lot of trust in me to take over and hand me the keys for this upcoming season and moving forward. But I think just keeping our team intact and making sure that we're all on the same page, and just being responsible for, you know, my mistakes as well as, you know, the team's mistakes. Because if the team is making mistakes, you know, especially mentally, then it's my job to, you know, get us back together as a collective group and just keep working hard.
And so as we look even further ahead, at your guys's schedule here, you know, actually a pretty decent, pretty favorable non-con, it looks like, going through a little bit of the list. You go to Boise, the one down December 3rd at Alabama, should be a really good test there before you guys get into league play. But yeah, so looking, you know, briefly at the schedule, but what you guys have in back with you stepping up, you know, are the goals the same? Are we looking, is it Summit League title on the horizon, or what's the plan in the locker room there?
Yeah, I mean, we're always obviously eyeing the Summit League title, but you know, we always got to take it, you know, one game at a time. I think is, you know, play one game at a time, play our game, and then just, you know, coming out with wins under our belt. We can't have, you know, any mishaps along the way if we want, you know, a good chance at a tournament bid. So
good. And then when are we starting up? I mean, you guys are probably already doing some workouts and stuff, but what's the official start date for you?
Tomorrow, actually.
Oh, all right. Yeah. So early these days.
I was gonna say that it does feel a little early. So you'll be, so this will come out on Tuesday. So you'll already be guys at it and going. So that's exciting.
That is.
Gonna be looking forward to it. So
what's the what's your shooting routine every day here, Zeke? I mean, is there a certain amount of shots you like to make? Is there, you know, one day is off the move, one day is off a gun? What does that look like for you over the summer, at least?
I mean, we have a shooting machine. Obviously, Dr. Dish, we're with them. So I'm just getting in the gym as much as possible. I don't really shoot a specific amount or make a certain amount. Just as long as I know that I really shoot until I'm uncomfortable is how I like to put it. I just, you know, shoot till my arm hurts. I'm making it, I'm missing. It's just, you know, that continue of getting reps, I think, is the most important thing. And I mix it up. I do catch and shoot. I shoot on the move, whatever it is. So
that's good, man. That's good. Yeah. Here's so many people who are at 500 makes a day, 1,000 makes a day, whatever that is. But man, yeah, just until I can't shoot anymore. I like that too. That's good.
Do you tend to lean more your game, your shooting style, Steph Curry or Klay Thompson?
That's tough. I say probably more Klay. I'm not really off the dribble kind of guy. Not yet, at least. But we're working on it. We're working on it.
You'll get there. Yeah, you'll get there.
You got some years left. Good. Well, hey, it's been awesome to get to know you here, Zeke. Get to know a little bit about your background. We like to end our episodes with a little section called Rapid Fire, where Brian will hit you with a couple questions about hoops, some not about hoops, and you just tell us what comes to the top of your head.
Perfect.
All right, Zeke, first one is favorite visiting gym or arena that you've had an opportunity to play in, whether college, high school, whatever. What's your favorite and ultimately why?
Bama definitely was the most fun I played in. Just the atmosphere was incredible.
Yeah, that's cool. That's
SEC.
Yep. Game day routine. Do you have anything special that you got to make sure happens on game day?
I love music, so I listen to a lot of different genres of music on game day.
Any song that you have to make sure that you listen to?
Yeah, Run This Town by Jay-Z and Kanye and Rihanna.
Yep, that's a good one. A good one. That'll get you fired up right there. Do you have a all-time favorite basketball shoe?
Oh, I'd say the Hyper Dunks back in 2013, 2014.
Yeah.
I think those were my favorite.
Those were, yeah, those were nice. The 2K, the 2K5 ones, right? The ones that, like, all those guys were wearing. That was, like, Salim Stoudemire at Arizona year. Those were nice. Who's your all-time starting five?
LeBron, Go Steph, Shaq, Mike, and I'm gonna go Reggie Miller.
Ooh, I like that. That's a good five. I like to see that. Who's your NBA team?
I don't really have an NBA team, but Dame has always been my favorite player, so I'm gonna go with Dame and the Portland Trail Blazers.
All right.
Ooh, I like that.
That's
a good one too. I was just looking at something because something popped up with AI scoring 60, and I was a little surprised that 60 was AI's high. Just feels like, I mean, he could get 40 easy. So the fact that 60 was his high. And I was looking through some of the list, and Dame being on there like twice, I think he's got 61 or 62 or something like that. You forget about it. I mean, he's the same type of dude. Like, he can score in bunches, and so you kind of forget that he went bonkers for 60. But favorite sports movie?
That's a good one. I say Glory Road.
Oh, that's a good movie. I like that. Adam and I get a chance to come up to Brookings for a game. Where's the best place to eat? Where we got to eat up there?
Cubby's.
All right.
That was quick. So there's only one choice, Adam. We know where we're going.
We're there.
We can do that. So Shooter's Touch is the name of the podcast for a lot of reasons. But what does it mean to you when you feel like, you know, you get that shooter's touch?
I mean, to me, it means, you know, keep shooting. If I see one go, then, you know, another one's gone. And after that, another one's gone. I mean, I'm going to shoot till I miss. And even if I miss, I'm going to keep shooting.
Yeah, I love it. Right.
Hey, Brian, and I just did a little recon work, and I believe Cubby's was Coach Petey's choice too. So it must be good.
They must have some love. They must have some love for the Jackrabbits at Cubby's too. So take care of you guys. All right, before I get to our last and final question, rapid fire, I got to ask you about the mayo jar T-shirts. Is this something still in circulation, or what's the deal here?
So it was it actually happened right before they hit me up right before our tournament or before the NCAA tournament. But we kind of wanted to wait until after just so I could, you know, keep my head straight, focus on the game. But we released it, kept it on sale for a couple of weeks. I think made about 1,200 off of those. So, you know, shout out to my support system. I really appreciate everyone that, you know, played a part in that and buying a T-shirt or a sweatshirt, whatever it was. But they're no longer on sale, unfortunately. Hopefully we can get them back up, you know, if they're willing to do that. But definitely a game changer.
Yeah, those were sweet design too. Like, it was sick.
And be sure you let us know when those come back up. We'll grab at least a couple of those for sure.
Most definitely.
Yeah, those were cool. That was a cool design. I saw it's like a little bit of obviously it was a mayo jar with the basketball, and it's a little Gus Macker meets, you know, Mr. Peanut type of deal. And so it was cool. It was well done, that's for sure. So all right, Zeke, last one, we'll let you get out of here, but you're young, and we'll circle back maybe in a couple of years and get this question from you again. But so far, what's the best thing about having the opportunity to put on that blue and yellow and be a Jackrabbit?
I mean, it's obviously God's blessing, but just being able to continue to play the sport that I love and I grew up playing my entire life is just amazing. You know, you dream of moments like these as a kid, and to finally, you know, fulfill that, I think is the best thing that's happened to me ever in my life. So hopefully we can continue. The game of basketball means so much to me. So as long as I can keep playing, I think I'll be good.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good. We're excited to continue to follow your journey. We wish you the best of luck here going into starting tomorrow, and then the rest of this season, the rest of your career. We'll be following along. Wish you the best, and keep shooting the piss out of it, all right?
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, like Brian said, great to meet you, Zeke. Great to learn a little bit more about you. We'll definitely be following the Jacks this winter. And, the best of luck and continued success for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.